This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We firstly begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We should praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again allowing us all to be gathered here together in this beautiful masjid. We have just performed the Salatul Maghrib together in Jama'ah. You know, many places right now around the world, they can't go to the masjid. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to pray together. This itself is a great ni'mah. It's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should praise Him for this. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather all of us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Today, as you all know, the topic is our children, our future. And it's all about raising children, especially in a society like this, in a Western society. I'm sure you've heard a lot of talks before about how to raise children. And it's always a good reminder for all of us, so that we can, inshaAllah ta'ala, improve on ourselves. For those of you who have young children, then this is for you. But for those of you who are not even married yet, this is also for you, because you will inshallah have children. And for those of you who your children are already grown up, it is for you to teach them how to raise their child. So it is for everybody, inshallah ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. I'm going to begin this short talk, inshallah, with a beautiful story. And I remember watching a sheikh live. He was giving a talk, a reminder. And that institute where he was, they were allowing live questions and answers. So towards the end of his talk, a few people, whoever wants from around the world, can call that number, and then they direct that to the sheikh, and they can ask the question to the sheikh. So one lady, she was put through, and she asked a question, a very interesting question to the sheikh. She said to him, I have a teenage son, maybe in his 16-year-old, and he is very bright, he is very intelligent in terms of education. And she said that when he comes back home from school, he studies very hard. And he studies so much so that he sleeps around 11 or 12 o'clock at night. So he prays his Maghrib, he prays his Isha, he sleeps quite late. She said that in the morning, at times I go to his room to wake him up for Fajr. But she said, I can't find it in my heart to wake him up, because he didn't have enough sleep. And as a mother, you feel like he needs more rest. So she said, what I do is I wait until sunrise, just before school starts. That's when he gets up, and that's when he performs his Fajr. So she asked the sheikh, is what I'm doing okay? So the sheikh replied with a question. He said, if there was a fire in your home in the middle of the night, what would you do? Would you wake up your son, or you wouldn't? So she said, no, I will wake my son up as well. So the sheikh asked, why? She said, because I don't want him to burn, I don't want him to die. So then the sheikh then said to her, if you feed the fire of this world for your son, then fear the fire of Jahannam for your son. It's a very amazing reminder. And the reason why I started off with this story is because we as parents, or maybe future parents, we want to, inshallah, establish an environment for our children that we want to get to a stage where our child, as they are growing older, we don't have to wake them up for Fajr anymore. We don't have to remind them to do good deeds anymore. We don't have to remind them to open up the Quran and recite and learn and memorize and understand. We don't want to remind them to give charity. We want to have done enough for our child that they are now trained well and they are on their own doing the things that we have taught them. That's where we want to get to. So the journey to get there is quite difficult. It's quite tough. But subhanAllah, we need to understand there are a few factors that relate to the success of our children. Number one is hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can try all you want, but if there's no hidayah for your child, he's not going to be successful. I mean, look at Nuh alayhi salam. He tried on his child. He tried very hard on the entire ummah that he had. But did he succeed with his child? No, he didn't. Even to the last moment, while the water was coming in, the water was rising, and he was telling his child to come on board for safety, for success. قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ He said, I will go to that mountain, and that mountain will save me. And Nuh alayhi salam said to him, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ That there is no safety now from anything, from the command of Allah, except whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ And between them came the wave, and he was from the ones who drowned. So it is hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. Number two, it is your parenting. And how you raise that child the best way that you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three are the teachers of your children, the educational institutions your child goes to. So it's very important to choose the correct places for your child to be educated. It is very important to choose your teachers if you can, so that you know how they are being educated. And also, the friends that they hang around with, their associates, who they befriend, who they get close to, who they look up to, and lastly, the environment they are growing up in. So there are certain factors that we need to think about. And we only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the success of our children. Now, we all know that this day and age that we live in, a lot of people, it's a culture now, that we start believing having children is a burden. It's an absolute burden. And there's articles that have been published, subhanAllah, that talk about the amount a parent spends on each child until he's 18 years old. And they do the calculation. They say that if your child goes to a public schooling system, you know, until he's 18, you approximately pay about $100,000 for that child. $100,000 to $150,000 for that child, for everything. And that is only if they go to a public system. You know, if they go to a private system, I mean, you're spending a lot of money. So they're already making you think negatively about having children, subhanAllah. There is a culture known as the DINK culture. Have you heard of that culture? D-I-N-K. It's very common in the city. It's called D-I-N-K, DINK, known as double income, no kids. And subhanAllah, this culture, It's apparent, it's real. Because they say, children, burden. We want to live our life. We want to travel the world. They may have a partner. They may be married. We want to buy the most expensive car that we want. We want to buy the most expensive house we want. We want to live in luxury. And when we have children, it's a big burden. The amount of money you're going to spend, subhanAllah. And these thoughts creep into the minds of people. It does. So much so, subhanAllah, I was only a student in university. I got married quite young. I was a student and in the Islamic University with my wife. And my wife, subhanAllah, she fell pregnant when we were 3 years into our studies with a six-year course. And I also had that thought, how am I going to raise my child? Where's that money going to come from? I only work 3 months in a year when I go back to Australia. How am I going to, you know, raise my child? I don't want to, you know, the man has that pride. You don't want to borrow money from your parents. How am I going to raise my child? So I went to one of my sheikhs and I asked him this question. I said, you know, I'm having this child, alhamdulillah, you know, but I'm afraid. How am I going to raise him? You know, where's the income going to come from? The sheikh, subhanAllah, he replied a very beautiful reply. He replied from a part of the verse from the Quran. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. That's all he had to say. I knew the verse. But when someone tells you that verse again and reminds you, it just clicks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not kill your children because of poverty. People used to do that. What did Allah say? Nahnu, it is us. We will provide for you and for your child. And wallahi, subhanallah, when I had my first child, the rizq just kept coming. Subhanallah. And this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So know that having children is a gift from Allah. Allah says that in the Quran, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. That having wealth and children, they are an adornment for you, happiness for you. But at the same time, never forget that with that happiness comes responsibility. Everything you have, everything that is under you, you are responsible for. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. That verily your wealth and your children are a test for you. They are a trial for you. But do not think about that way that I'm not going to have any children. Or I'm not going to encourage my child when they grow up to have many children. No. Just go back to your grandparents' generation, your parents' generation. If they had maybe 10 to 15 siblings from one mother, and they lived fine, they grew up well, subhanallah. And today, you know, if you have 5 or 6 kids, what's wrong with you? You know, how are you going to raise them? What car are you going to buy? You know, where are all the rooms? Subhanallah. The busiest human beings on earth, who were they? They were the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The busiest human beings on earth. Zakariya alayhi salam, at such an old age, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبَلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. He begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child, for a righteous child. And he said, Ya Allah, you are the one who hears all dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many children did he have? Do we know?
Six.
Six? Any other guesses? Five?
After the one died?
No, just altogether, how many children did he have? He had 11? Maybe you're thinking about wives. He had 7 children. He had six from one wife, which is Khadija, and he had one from Maria. So he had 7 altogether. Four girls and 3 boys, subhanAllah. Imagine today if a family says, I have 6 or 7 children. Whoa, what's wrong with you, subhanAllah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the most busiest human beings on earth at that time, yet he was able to have children and he was able to bring them up. Yes, they all died when they were young. All the boys died in infancy. The daughters died when they were in adulthood. Only one remained alive after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he had children, subhanAllah. So we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for righteous children. And remember, your righteous children, they will benefit you after you pass away. They will make dua for you. And that is what will continue in your deeds, inshaAllah ta'ala. Remember, when raising kids, it starts even before you get married. The thought of raising children starts from before you get married. How? Those of you who are not married, and those of you who already have children, remind your children about this. You need to choose the spouse, the correct spouse. Why? Because she is going to be the mother of your child. And he is going to be the father of your child. You got to think about that. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تُنْكِحَ الْمَرْأَ لِأَرْبَعَ لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلَدِينِهَا فَاظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reminds the people, he reminds the men. Women are married for 4 reasons. Number one, their beauty, their wealth, their lineage, and their deen. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized, he said, choose the one that has deen. Why? Because she is going to be the mother of your child. You got to think about that. She's going to be the first teacher of your child. She's going to raise your child. So you need to choose the right one. And likewise, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked to the fathers of daughters. And he says to them, if a righteous man comes to you asking for your daughter's hand in marriage, and you are happy with his deen and with his akhlaq, then marry your daughters to him, of course, with their permission. And if you do not do so, then there will be fasad on earth. This is an authentic hadith. Why? Because he is going to be the father of that child. So we need to plan ahead, even before marriage. Today, subhanAllah, I deal with, you know, school-age kids, uni students who come up to me and say, I'm in love. You know, I'm in love. Why? I want to get married. Why? Because she's beautiful. That's it. That's the only criteria one looks at. She's beautiful. I mean, of course, that can be a criteria. But have you thought that she's going to be the mother of your child? Have you thought of that? Do you want your children to be raised in a way that, you know, you don't want? And that's something really important to think about. Number two, give your child a good name. Give your child a good name. Ibrahim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, last night a child was born to me and I named him after my father, Ibrahim. Of course, his father, meaning the father of the Prophet, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he chose that name, why? Because he wanted his child to resemble Ibrahim alayhi salam. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, choose good names for your children because they will resemble it. Choose good names. SubhanAllah, I remember one of my friends while I was in uni called me up and he said, you know, a friend of mine, his wife gave birth and we want to go see, you know, see him, see the baby. And he didn't have a car, so he said to me, can you drive me? So I said, no problem. And we went to their house, SubhanAllah, very nice couple. And we saw the child, you know, and we made a lot of dua to the child. And then I asked the brother, I said, what did you name your child? And he said, I named him Salman. You know, and I thought, mashallah, what a beautiful name. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, what a beautiful name after an amazing Sahaba, Salman al-Farisi. You know, a Sahaba, the quest of truth, I mean, the journey he came, he embraced Islam, and his idea of the trench, subhanAllah, the Muslim victory in the Battle of Khandaq, amazing. Those thoughts were running through my head. And then the friend of mine asked him, why did you name him Salman? Wallahi, the response was, my wife and I, we love Salman Khan. We love Salman Khan. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's that famous Bollywood actor. You know, and subhanAllah, all those good thoughts just went down the drain. But people are naming their children after superstars. You know, although the name sounded really nice, but they name them, you know, these type of names. And now they want to name their children something unique. Something unique. No one has that name. But they forget that we need to choose beautiful names, names that have good meanings. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, choose the names of the prophets of Allah. Choose Abdullah, choose Abdurrahman, the greatest names. The Sahabiyat, the greatest women who ever lived on this earth. SubhanAllah, there are, you know, girls that come to our school. There's four sisters. Three of them come, the younger one is going to come soon, inshallah. Four sisters, no brothers. Their parents named them Maryam, Asiya, Khadija, and Fatima. MashaAllah. Beautiful names. The four greatest women to walk the face of this earth. How amazing is that, subhanAllah. So let's name our children good names, inshaAllah ta'ala. Number three, be a good role model. You, as a parent, need to be the best role model for your child. Why? Because your child will most likely resemble you. Remember, your child at a young age, you're their hero. They look up to you. They want to do things that you do. And you won't even know it. Some of the things that you do, you won't even realize your child is resembling you. Just to impress you, they will do certain things that you do because they know you like it. I mean, my daughter hates cricket, but I love cricket. That's me. My daughter will play cricket just to make me happy. And subhanAllah, she's only 5 years old. But that's something that she will try to resemble you. I remember once, you know, an elderly man, he passed away. And the son of that man, he invited me that night after the burial, just to give a nasiha, a talk to the people, you know, about death and the reminder of death. And there was a lot of people. There was a lot of people and, you know, I was sitting there and I'm giving a talk about death. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's a good reminder for myself and everybody else. And at that moment, a person just passed away, and I'm speaking about death, but the audience were laughing. And I didn't understand why they were laughing. I had no idea. I'm talking about death, but then there's people in the audience who are laughing. And then in the corner of my eye, I see my son. And guess what he's doing? He's doing the exact same hand gestures that I'm doing while I'm speaking. He's resembling me. He's going like this, going like this. You know, he's getting up. And I had no idea he was right next to me. My uncle noticed it. And my uncle had to come up and grab my son and take him away, subhanAllah. But the point was, he was resembling me. He was trying to be like me. Your child will try to be like you. In another incident, I remember going to school in the morning. I'm a school teacher. And there's a traffic light close to the school. There's a traffic light. I'm on the left lane, turning right. There were two lanes turning right. So I'm on the left lane. And this brother is in front of me. This person is in front of me. And there's another car on the right lane. So as we turn to the right, the left lane ends. And you need to merge. So what this person does in front of me, he tries to cut into the guy that is on the right. But the guy on the right is not letting him go. He's not letting him go. So what this person does, he puts down his window and he shouts and he screams, he yells, he swears. I could hear it from behind that car. And he's sticking the finger up and he's swearing, subhanAllah. And I'm just thinking, I hope this guy is not a Muslim. I hope this guy is not a Muslim. Not only was he Muslim, but he was the parent of a child coming to my school. And the child was in the car. He dropped the child. And when I looked at the child, I realized why the child's behavior is like this. SubhanAllah. He was flagged as one of those who had behavior issues. I mean, he's in the car looking at his father swearing. Where is he getting all this from? So be the best role model for your child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara. Allah reminds all of us, O you who believe, save yourselves, but not only yourselves, save your families also from the fire whose fuel is men and stones. So we have to make sure that our family is also safe by us being that role model. Your child on the day of judgment will not care about you. It's all nafsi, nafsi. Myself, myself. Your child will go in front of Allah and say, Ya Allah, my father never taught me about salah. My father never used to pray in front of me. My father never told me about Quran. He will throw you under the bus. Your daughter will say, my mom, Ya Allah, my mother, my father never taught me salah, never taught me to put the hijab on. She never did it herself. They will try to throw you under the bus. And because in the day of judgment, it's all about you. So you need to be that parent now. Teach your children now so that on the day of judgment, they will not have those excuses. You've done your part and you're leaving the rest in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are shepherds and each and every one of you are responsible for your flock. So be that responsible parent and be that role model for your child. Number four, the way we treat our children, very, very important. We need to treat them with justice. And a lot of people say we have to treat them equally. You know, all your children, treat them equally. But I don't say the word equally. I say the word justice. Because there's a difference between equality and justice. What is equality? You know, think about, you know, the classic example where there's a fence. And there's three boys, you know, one is very tall, medium height, short, and they're trying to look over to see the game. The tall one can see it, the middle one can't see it, you know, the level of their head is the fence, and the short one has no chance. Then the father finds three boxes, or three crates. Equality is, you give each one crate. The tall one, he doesn't need it, but he gets up on it and now he's really high up. The middle one, he can see the game, the short one still can't see it. Still short. Justice is, in that example, the first one doesn't get it because he doesn't need it. The second one gets one and the third one gets two. Now they're at the same level and they can see the game. Likewise, when we're treating or we're giving our children, we're supporting our children, we need to make sure we're just with them. When you give one child, give the other something similar or what they deserve. Very, very important. Once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I gave my child this garden of mine. And the Prophet said, what did you give your other children? Nothing. Give your children something similar. They deserve it. Give it to them. Definitely. Don't be the one who gives one and not the other. But of course, it doesn't mean that you give one, you give the same thing to the other one. No. It depends on their situation and circumstance. And of course, give them as well during the same time you give others. During Eid, during times of happiness, give presents, but of course to their level, insha'Allah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and treat your children fairly. You must make sure that you do that. At times we need to reprimand them. At times when they do something wrong, we need to punish them. And there are certain forms of punishment. Not once did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to raise his hands on his child. Not once. Not once. But how many times do we do it? And the negative impact that has on the children. We say, you know, we live in this country, we can't even smack our children anymore. The Prophet never did. The Prophet never did. It's not the society. Don't blame the society. We gotta blame our parenting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did so. Be kind to them. Be gentle to them. Let them make mistakes. They're human beings. You make mistakes too. But they will learn from those mistakes. Be there when they make those mistakes. Let them share that mistake with you. Because they know my dad's not going to hit me. My dad's not going to yell at me. But my dad's going to explain to me. Be that father. Be the mother who is there for the child. And doesn't yell or scream or whack the kid. SubhanAllah. We are not like that. We are the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But don't be the one who punishes them negatively. You know, sometimes, subhanAllah, your child is watching too much TV. And you had enough. You're sick of it. They're on their device for too long. And you're sick of it. You yell at them and say, put that away and go read the Quran. Guess what? The Quran becomes a punishment for your child now. So he looks at the Quran negatively. Allahu Akbar. We need to think of these things. But rather reward them when they read the Quran. Reward them. Give them things. Buy them gifts. When they memorize a certain verse or surah, give them something. Let them aim for something, inshallah. You may think, but we want to teach our children to read Quran and pray for the sake of Allah, not for gifts. I mean, why do we pray? Why do we fast? Why do we? Because we want Jannah. We want a gift from Allah. We want paradise. So give your kids gifts, and inshallah, when they are older, they will long for paradise. That's what we want, inshallah ta'ala. Number five. One of the biggest mistakes we make today as parents. I want you to think of the way you are at home when it comes to the dinner table. Today, unfortunately, why families are breaking apart. One of the main reasons is because of something like this, the devices that we have. During dinner, and of course it could be other times, but specifically I'm talking about while everyone is together in the home. A lot of parents, what they do is they send their children to a separate table, put the food in front of them, put the device on so that they can watch quietly and not disturb their parents. Then you have the husband on one side, his device is on, and then the wife on the other side, her device is on. Where's the communication? Where's the love? Your child is going to look for that love elsewhere. Your wife, you know, she's not communicating with you anymore. And this is where marriage is breaking up as well. The distractions of life is making our families fall apart, subhanAllah. The device today is breaking families apart. You need to make this rule for yourself and for your family. That at least one moment in the day where you are together, and I say during you eat, when you eat, that moment, spend that time together. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he said, converse while you're eating, because food brings people together. It brings love. Speak, talk to each other, ask them how their day was, how was it at school, what did you learn today? Let them take the onus to teach you during the dinner. Let them teach you, subhanAllah. And then praise them for the good that they have done. Help them when they've done something wrong. But have that conversation with them, subhanAllah. Very, very important. Quality time. Quality time. I urge all fathers to take your child, you know, out together. Just you and your child. If you have more than one, then take them on separate days. Maybe take them together at once, but take each child separately at different days as well. Make them feel special. Go fishing if you like. Go for a drive to even 7-Eleven to buy something if you like. But that moment that you have with your child, they will never forget it. They will not forget it because you made them feel special. You made them feel special. Ask them questions. Ask them if they need any help. What's going on in their life? What did you learn today? That one-on-one time, wallahi, they will not forget. Mothers as well, take your children out. If there's people who love to go shopping, take one of your children with you. Talk to them during that moment. Spend that quality time with them. Go and, you know, buy a drink and sit together. Have a meal together. Have that quality time. Wallahi, it works. Play sports together. I also encourage a lot of families, the entire family, mother, father, children, go outside. If you have to go to the park, you don't have a big backyard, go to the park. Play sports with your children. That's so important. You know, because children see that bond. And if they can't get that from you, they'll get that from somewhere else. And maybe that somewhere else is a place where they're going to be destroyed. So it's very important you spend that quality time with your children. Number six, education. Education, the best example, and there's no other that is greater at the moment. Obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples. It doesn't have to be prophets. He gives examples because Allah knows how great those examples are for us to learn lessons. Allah tells us about Luqman and how he taught his son. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Luqman, one of the first things he taught his child was connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing he taught. And that is something we need to teach our children from a very, very young age. Who Allah is. Why we perform the salah. We perform for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to build a love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the wisdom behind the shortest surahs of the Quran. What is, if you remember, the first surah you memorized? Surah Fatiha or Surah Al-Ikhlas. Why do you memorize these surahs? Allah, the wisdom. Allah put that wisdom there. Why? Because they are the shortest surahs and children learn them first. So that the children can know who Allah is. That's the wisdom behind this, subhanAllah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say there is only one Allah. Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Teach them about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he doesn't have any children. And he's not a child of any parent. Teach them this, and there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, that the first revelations to be revealed in the Quran in Mecca was about Allah, the love of Allah, the fear of his punishment, about Jannah and Jahannam, about Yawmul Akhir. Why? So that the Sahabas could absorb the love of Allah in their hearts. Then when they migrated to Medina, then the halal and haram ayat came. She said if the halal and haram ayat came first, the Sahabas would have said, I will never give up zina. I would never give up alcohol. Why? Because if they were the first verses, they wouldn't give it up. Aisha says that Allah wanted the Sahabas to absorb the love of Allah. Once that love is there, everything is then sami'na wa ata'na. Whatever Allah says, I'll do. If Allah says do this, I'll do it. Because of that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Luqman continues and he talks about salah to his child. Connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah. Connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach people good and to forbid people evil. And to have patience when calamity hits you. So look at the example of Luqman. And you need to be that example for your children, insha'Allah ta'ala. Number seven. In your homes. And insha'Allah, I will end it two more points. In your homes. Have a moment, I call it the halaqa hour. In your homes, establish a time. We talked about dinner. That's a separate one. Have an established time, even if it's 15 minutes, if 30 minutes, or even an hour, where you sit with your children, the entire family, and you speak maybe the stories of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and teach them lessons. Or it could be the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or the stories of heroes, the sahabas. Why? Kids love stories. They love stories. They will listen to stories. And if you notice in my speech, I give stories. Because we love stories too. I love it. I love hearing stories. And the audience may talk a lot, but as soon as someone is telling a story, they'll listen. So teach them the heroes of Islam. The heroes who walk the face of this earth. SubhanAllah, how many of our children know the so-called heroes on TV? The footy stars, the soccer players. You know, I remember I went into the classroom once and the students were talking about the English Premier League, the soccer match that happened. This was a while back. They were talking about the game that happened the night before. And they were just talking about it. I couldn't get them quiet. They were going crazy over it. So I said to them, okay, can one of you tell me the names of all the players in that team? And they were very excited. A few of the hands went up. I chose one person. He named all the players. He named the players in the bench. And he named the coach. I'm hoping he was right. I have no idea. Right? So I'm like, great, mashallah. Who can now name me all the players in the other team? A few other hands went up. Well, I chose one of them. Again, all the players. Players on the bench and the coach. I was stunned. And then I said, all right. How many of you can name me the 25 prophets mentioned in the Quran? Finally, there was silence in the room. SubhanAllah. No one. One hand went up. Can I try, sir? You can try. Amazingly, SubhanAllah, she got 21. She got 21, which is great. But it's sad that our children know the names of so many people, but they don't know the names of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't know the names of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't know the names of the 10 who were given glad tidings of paradise, the sahabas. We need to teach our children these heroes so that inshaAllah ta'ala they can resemble them. How amazing would it be, you know, right now we see our children, youngsters, they're going around with their swords or whatever it is, I'm Superman, I'm this, I'm that, whatever the heroes are today, I have no idea. But subhanAllah, how amazing would it be that they are running around saying, you know, I am Umar radiallahu anhu, I'm Ali radiallahu anhu. You know, today it's I'm Ertuğrul, you know. The whole Ertuğrul, subhanAllah, great, no problem. But we want to teach them also the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sahabas. So have that halaqa time with them. That could also be Quran. That could also be Hadith, where you sit there and you teach them, inshaAllah. Also, with the theory comes practical. Sometimes you need to teach your children in a practical sense as well. So I urge all parents, take them out and make them do good actions. For example, if you teach them about sadaqah, make them go and do the work of sadaqah. SubhanAllah, go to the city and take food with you and tell your children to give food to the poor. Do that. There's a family, subhanAllah, that the two boys, I used to tutor them. The mother was telling me that every second year, every 2 years, they take their children to a country where they live with the villagers, the poor villagers, and they do charity work for 2 weeks. They live with them, they go buy groceries, and they go hand it out. Wallahi, these two boys are the most beautiful boys you'll ever meet. Great boys, because they're humble of what they have. They live in a beautiful home, but they are humble of what they have. They love each other, they share things with one another. And that's something we want. Do the practical work as well. Teachers, we are told, don't just teach theory, do practical. That's how kids learn. But we parents need to also do the same, inshallah. So have that moment. Other things you can do as well in your homes. Have reminders on the wall. Have reminders on the wall. The dua on the walls. You know, when you're leaving the home, what's the dua? When you're entering the home, what's the dua? When you're traveling in the car, what's the dua? Have them around. Because your kids will look at things and try their best to memorize them and do that inshallah. Use a lot of, you know, Arabic phrases. Dua, for example, say assalamu alaikum when you meet each other. Jazakallahu khair instead of thank you. You know, say mashallah instead of well done. You know, use these words inshallah and your child will learn them. Very, very important. And give gifts to your children when they deserve the gift. That's very important. Obviously, besides Eid. You know, this is my opinion. You don't have to follow my opinion. But in my opinion, I don't celebrate birthdays. I believe celebrating birthdays is a sin. That's my opinion. The reason, one of the reasons, there's other reasons, but I tell my child comes up to me and says, Dad, how come that person is celebrating birthdays? You know, they invited all these people and I can't go. So I tell them, listen, I will give you a party, a celebration, if you earn something great. You do something great. For example, if you can read the Quran from finish to end, you'll get a party. You will. You memorize the Quran, I'll buy you a car. I'll do all these for you, definitely. But you need to earn it. You need to be the one who deserves it. So that children will know that when they work hard, they will get something, inshallah. So give them gifts. Eid as well, you give them gifts, of course, that's normal. But make them earn their gifts as well, inshallah ta'ala. Last point. As a parent, make a lot of dua for them. A lot of dua for them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the parents' dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make that sincere dua for your children. One of the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recommended was to say, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Lord, grant us from our wives and our offsprings comfort to our eyes. Meaning, make them successful, make us happy because of what they do. That's what we want, Ya Allah. And make us an example for the righteous. So this is a dua, a beautiful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught us. Very comprehensive, mashallah. So make that dua on a regular basis, in your salah if you can, every day. That dua is very powerful. So I hope inshallah ta'ala that myself and all of us, we've learned something. And inshallah ta'ala we will implement it in our lives. Again, if you have young children, try to implement this. If you have older children who will inshallah have their own, then remind them about this. And if you don't have any children of your own and you're not married, then think about who you're marrying. And you know, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you have children to help you gain the success of yourself and your children in this world and the akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us learn the lessons of today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us implement those lessons. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather all of us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Wa jazakumullah khair. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Do I just end it?